This morning we're going to be in Ecclesiastes. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes and we're going to be in Matthew. And so make sure that you turn to those two books, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 6. And that way you know where we are and what we're going to be reading. And I need you to follow along. Matthew is the secondary book. Ecclesiastes is the first, the primary that we're going to be looking at today. And as we continue on, we're going to look at Solomon. And remember last week we talked about Solomon and how he was so inward focused. He's going, man, I've gained all this wealth. I've gained all these great things. And I have tried everything. And nothing has satisfied me. I'm the king. I own it all. And so I have all this stuff that I'm going after. But now I got to, listen, I've gained this multitude of things and I'm going to have to give it away. And so he gets all worked up and he gets all out of shape because he has to give away all of his wealth when he dies. And you would think, man, King, chill out, right? Take a breath, because when you're dead, you're dead. You're not going to own anything. You don't see a U-Haul following a hearse to the graveyard, right? So relax. And Solomon is going, yeah, but who's going to get my stuff? And are they going to take care of it the way I took care of it? Are they going to work hard like I've worked hard? Are they going to? And he goes down this whole list of things that he is so concerned about, his stuff. And here's the reality. Once you're dead, you're not even going to know you had anything. But he's so caught up in it. Some of you guys are caught up in the things that don't matter. You're getting hung up on how many, I'm just curious, how many here, you're a control freak? Okay, my same eight, still hanging in there. God bless you guys. How many here, like, listen, if things get out of order at all, I start getting wigged out. How many of that, right? Oh, we're getting more people now, right? And then we got some that are just staring at the other like, why aren't you raising your hand? And they go, well, I'll raise my hand as soon as you raise your hand. All right, we'll both sit here and not raise a hand. There you go. The reality is, guys, we get caught up in life and then we start looking at things that don't matter. And in the process, we sacrifice what does. Let me just help you out. Cars, they come and go. Houses, they come and go. You know, and everybody loves their things until their things become a problem. Amen? Like your car, you love the car, and then about the third time it breaks down, you're going, this thing's got to go. And yeah, if you own a Ford, you're used to that. But anyway, and we're like, it's got to go. Well, guys, Solomon is all caught up in the things that don't matter. We talked about that last week, but then he stops. And we're going to look in chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 24. In Ecclesiastes 2:24, Solomon says, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I?" I mean, he's like, I'm the king. I got everything at my disposal. I mean, literally everything was at the king's disposal. Men, the king is so powerful here that if he saw your wife and wanted your wife, you had to surrender your wife. This is what we're talking about. If he saw property and he wanted property, well, it was already his property, so you have to surrender it. This is the kind of man, he had that much power, and he's like, who can celebrate more than me? I got literally everything on earth is at my disposal. You would think he'd be content, right? No, because the reality is, guys, sometimes we pick up this mind frame that Rockefeller had. They asked Rockefeller one time, they said, what do you want? Because he was buying all this land. And they said, dude, do you want to own the whole world? And he goes, no, I don't want to own the whole world. I just want to own the land that's touching my land. Some of you will catch on to that. And so Right? And so what happens is we go in this pursuit of things because we're trying to find happiness. And let me help you. Happiness, you will find in happenings or things. But joy, which is really what we're looking for, but Satan disguises it as happiness, and he disguises it like if I go out and I just do this, or if I do this, and I... No, what you want is contentment in here. That when the whole world is falling apart, falling down, you're going, I'm okay. When your world is rolling and rocking and it's tumultuous and you have no clue what's going on, and you start getting anxiety, and then God goes, hey, shh, 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 I got this. And you're walking so close that you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me back, and thank you for having my back. And thank you for telling me that you love me and you'll protect me. These are promises, guys. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to go through some struggles, but what it means is he's got us. He'll carry us through them if we trust him. Well, Solomon makes all these complaints, and then he comes to this realization. Nothing is better, verse 24, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink. This doesn't mean alcohol. This is just talking, he's literally talking about, in other words, that you're enjoying life. So if you say, oh, pastor, I can drink all I want because it says right here. No. You got to understand what he's talking about. And he says that he should eat and drink and that his soul... Guys, that's a key word. Because that means that very personal you. Your soul. The entire you is just satisfied. And there's so many people today, you are not satisfied. Listen, not only are you not satisfied, but you don't even have a clue of what you want. And so you're just racing after anything that catches the eye or pleases the flesh. You're like, oh, that's good. I'll go over here. Oh, I'll try that. And then you get burnt a little bit. Ooh, I don't like that. Let me go over here. Oh, let me try that. Oh, I don't like that. And then you're just, you don't even know what you're looking for. You're just running. I worked for my father-in-law for about a year. This was back in early 80s. No, late 87, somewhere around there. I had just moved from Ohio to North Carolina. And I was working with my father-in-law when I moved there, and so he hired Jeffrey. And so it was my brother-in-law, me, and Jeffrey. Now, Jeffrey was a spaz. I mean, you guys like chihuahuas or these little dogs that are just like this the whole time? That's Jeffrey, right? I think he even had the eyes of the chihuahua and the ears, but anyway. And so he was that guy that my father-in-law would say, hey, Jeff, I need shoo. He was gone before my father-in-law could even get out of his mouth what he needed. Just bam. And then my father-in-law is yelling, the shovel! Because Jeffrey's gone. He doesn't even know what he's going for. He's just running. And I think that's what we could do in life, right? I think one time he asked him to get a board stretcher, but that was beside the point. How many know what a board stretcher is? How many have ever used a board stretcher? The rest of you are like, I have no clue what you're talking about. All right, listen, I'm going to give you this little nugget so you never get caught in the trap of getting a board stretcher. You cannot stretch a board, therefore there is no such thing. How many just went, oh, I didn't know that? All right. You guys are like, I am not. Nope, I'm done. Okay. So guys, listen, we need to understand what are we looking for? Like, have you ever really just stopped? Remember last week we talked about just stop and look in the mirror. Instead of seeing you, see the life, see the world, see what's going on, and then figure out where you want to go. Grab hold of God's hand. Look at him and say, Lord, I am clueless, but with your help, I'll get there. Because if we are in search of things, let me help you, those things quickly fade away. Quickly fade away. And you can spend your whole life gaining the whole world and you're going to lose your only soul. You can die with everything. But when you die, you have nothing. Nothing. And so what we have to do is we got to look at life the way Solomon is. And he's like, whoa, hold on a minute. Man, what's important here? What's really important? Guys, I just want to challenge you to stop and look and say, what's really important? And then I'm going to ask you this. And I don't want hands on this because I don't want my same eight to comfort me. But I want you to think about this just for a second. How would you feel if tomorrow you lost your immediate family? There's a car accident. Everyone's in the car but you. And you lose your immediate family. You're like, Pastor, that's heavy. Hello, I want your attention. There's a car accident and you get a phone call. And your family's gone. Now how important is it, the pursuit of things that you're after? See, it's perspective. A dear friend of mine, last week, he got that phone call. I can assure you, there's nothing in this world that he want more than his family back. Nothing. And yet, we play with the very match that will burn them up. Because men, listen, and I know because I'm one of them. Man, we get so goal-focused, right? Men, how many of you got goals and you want to reach them? That's what I'm talking about, right? The rest of you are just lying to you or you're not willing to play. For my visitors, I will not call you up here until the end. I'm just kidding. Like, I ain't coming back. But think about this just for a second. What are you putting ahead of what matters? Guys, this is real stuff. These are real questions. And then you got to ask yourself, is the sin that I'm living in or the things I'm pursuing or whatever it is it worth what I have? Is it worth what I have? See, Solomon went through that. Remember last week we talked about how he went, oh, I'm going to lose it all, and some jerk face is going to get it, and I'll probably have some derelict that doesn't know anything about anything, and he's going to take my riches, and he's going to squander it, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you're dead. You'll never know. Remember last week we talked about focus on other people and helping other people instead of serving yourself. Get your face out of the mirror a little bit, or at least take the silver from behind the mirror. The Bible says that you look into a piece of glass and you're the same person, but amazing how when you put a little silver behind the glass, all of a sudden you change. This is what Solomon's talking about. And so then he goes on and he says, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what is of God. After his rant, his little vent, if you will, on 12 through 22, 23, and then 24, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. Enjoy what you've worked for. Enjoy what you have. You know, guys, listen, if you would stop complaining about what you don't have and start counting the blessings of the things you do have, it just might change your whole life. It might change your whole outlook. Listen, you know what? You might see, well, the value is actually in my family and not in my pursuit. Because let me tell you something. For those of you who are in the business world and you're like, gotta get the next raise, gotta get up here, mess up. They don't care as much about you as you care about you. And they don't care as much about you as you care about getting to the next position. There used to be loyalty in the workplace. That's gone. Right? Oh, and you could be the best worker in the world, but because you hit a certain age, you're like, oh, let's get a young buck in here. He don't know nothing, but that's a good thing. We can train him to be what we want him to be. And all of a sudden, all the experience sets at home, and then you get depressed. Why? Because you put all of your effort into what you are pursuing rather than what you are and what you have. And I'm just telling you, Solomon's like, listen, I'm telling you what God wants you to do. God wants you to earn, but don't get it out of balance. And then enjoy what God has given you. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen? So here he says in 24, nothing is better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that his soul, his very being, his the essence of who he is, everything that he is, his soul should enjoy what he's worked for. This also I saw was from the hand of God. He said, God reminded me. It's not important what we have and where we're going. What's important is who we're with and who we love and who loves us. The rest, man, we just enjoy it as it comes or as it goes. Man, you get caught up. And by the way, have you ever noticed the more stuff you have, the more money it takes to keep the stuff? So I have, I'm in the process of dumping. My insurance agent is here, so she's happy and sad about it. She's happy because we get to talk. She's sad because I'm going to give her less money. And so, which then makes me happy, but not that she's sad. It's just this conflicting world, amen? Anyway, so I have two trucks, two cars, two motorcycles. Someone say why. Go ahead, say why. Because I know some of you are thinking it. So here's what happens. Like I wheel and deal. I've done it my whole life, and I buy, I'll buy nice things, but I'm cheap. I'm cheap. Okay, frugal. I like frugal. I'll take frugal. It's really cheap, but I'll take frugal, and I'll see a good deal and I'll buy it for little money, fix it up, and then sell it for mo money. Right. So now I'm like, okay, but I'll enjoy it for a season while I have it, right? Why have it if you can't enjoy it? And then I sell it. So now I'm in a selling mode. I just sold one of my trucks, and I sold one of the motorcycles, and so I'll be calling you next week. And to cancel insurance on it, right? I don't own any of it, and here's what I know. The truck that I sold broke down. I didn't want to fix it, so I sold it cheaper than what I could have sold it if I had fixed it. But I didn't want to put no more money into it because Salt was winning the fight. And I'm like, okay, it's got to go. Then I get a motorcycle. It was a $4,000 motorcycle. I picked it up for $1,500. Exact, right? Now you understand. And so then I rode it for a season, and then it broke down. And I'm like, doggone, I got to fix it. Well, I don't want to fix it. So I'm still selling it for more than I paid for it, but not as much as it's worth. But he's happy, I'm happy, and God is good. Amen? And so I'm going through this phase now where I told my wife, I go, the junk's got to go. The junk's got to go. And someone asked me one time if I had a certain thing. They go, is that for sale? I go, listen, the only thing I'm married to is my wife. Everything else is for sale. Amen? Like, that's I'm not going to compromise that. Because the truck isn't my soul. The motorcycle isn't my soul. My wife is my soulmate. Why do I want to give up her for the junk that's going to break down and rot and fall away? And just cost me more money to keep. Now, let me say this. My wife costs me money too, but she's a pleasure and a joy. But if I give her a quarter, she is so magical, she'll squeeze that sucker out into a dollar. She's good with money. Amen? As we look at this, guys, and Solomon says, hey, man, God says to enjoy what you have. If you're not enjoying what you have, you got a problem in here. You got a problem in here. And you might say, even if it's with your car or your spouse, my pastor used to say, you don't like your car? Wash and wax it. You get a new car. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I like this. Amen? How many have ever tried that? Okay, the rest of you need to try it. Or, man, my spouse, man, you're the problem. Oh, let me help you. 9 times out of 10, if you're looking at your spouse as the problem, you might be feeding the machine. You could be the problem, too. Amen? Are you willing to work on it? Are you willing to fix it? What's the value of life to you? And I'm not talking a life as your spouse. I'm talking life as enjoying life. Man, if you're caught up into things that are not of God, you're not enjoying life, man. You are sacrificing your soul. Let me just help you out there. All right, at any rate, here we go. I don't know. I didn't win any points on that last round, but we'll work on it on this one. Here we go, verse 25. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than me? He's the king. He's like, I got it all, guys. You need to listen to the one with experience, and that's Solomon, verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Guys, you can only do so much, and I can only do so much, right? I mean, in our own strength, we are limited at best. But boy, when God gets involved, blessings galore. God will bless you and move you. And I'm telling you, God will do things for you that you didn't even think or imagine. But only those that take pleasure in Him. Look at this. For God gives wisdom. We talked about wisdom, remember? And knowledge and joy. You know what joy is? I told you what joy was, but I'm going to tell you again, just because sometimes people need to hear something seven times before they actually grab it. I won't tell you seven times, joy, 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 but I'm going to tell you, joy is that contentment within. Where you can look at a sale and go, I don't need it. You can look at something that's broke at your house and you go, man, I could fix that. There's no need in me throwing it away and spending all this money on something new. Joy is that when you go home at night and you just sit down and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. It's a good day. Meanwhile, your house is burning down because your kids are running around. Everybody's crazy. Phone's ringing off the hook. Like it's insanity. And you just turn it all off and you're like, Calgon, take me away. I know that's going way back on the commercials, but you guys get it, right? That's joy. And Solomon says that if you're resting in Him, God, He'll give you joy. He'll give you wisdom to make right decisions, discernment. He'll give you knowledge to understand the importance of exercising wisdom. God, listen, Solomon says, if you just take a rest in God with everything, He will give you everything you need to go through life where social media is not going to dictate your life. Other people aren't going to dictate your life. Peer pressure is not going to dictate your life. Sin is not going to dictate your life. The only thing going to dictate your life is that which God has put in place, and you are going to rest in that and go, whew, this is good. It's just good. And if not, here's what will happen. And I love Solomon because he doesn't leave the thought there. He finishes it in 26. And he says, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in His sight, but to the sinner. Who's the sinner? The sinner is the one who does things contrary to God's way. We'll just put it simple form for everyone to understand. The sinner is the one that does things contrary to God's way. That's the sinner. The sinner. He gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him collecting or give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. So let me put that in perspective. God's going to take the sinner, those who are just on fire for themselves, self-serving, seeking after everything that's going to devour them and their family and everybody else. And God says, oh, you don't want to listen? You don't want to fall in line with me? No problem. Go work yourselves into the dirt. And then what you gather, I'll give it to somebody else that deserves it. God's like, yeah, you can work your hineys off. I'm just going to take it from you and give it to someone else. So if you're abusing, it's going to go away. Listen, if you're abusing your family, man, God could take that family away from you. If your job is paying you massive amounts of money and all you can think about is getting more money, God can take that away from you. If all you care about is things, God can take that away from you. Listen, he can give you a car that you love so much, and he'll give it. Oh, go ahead, go get it. Yep. Oh, yeah, it's time for the starter to go out. Oop, time for the alternator to go out. Oop, time for it to start leaking oil. Oop, yep, yeah, we're going to let them take all their fortune and just dump into that heap of junk. And it doesn't go away. And you're like, oh, God says, listen, I don't care that you're happy with things. I care that the thing you're happy with is me. And by the way, sin is fun for a season. Let's not be fooled. And so he says, I will take those who are working, I'll take what they got, and I'll give it to somebody else. And you're like, oh, no, I don't want that to happen. Well, then get right. I need you to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. 6:19. Now, just prior, so prior to 25, because we're going to go down to 25, but in 6:19, I want you to see what he's talking about. He's talking about treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy. He must be referencing New York. Anyway, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So some of you might think, oh, money don't have me. But where are you spending all your money on? I tell people all the time, if you want to know what your God is, or who your God is, look at your calendar and your checkbook. Look at your calendar and your checkbook, and I'm going to tell you every time, without doubt, it's going to show you where your greatest love is. Every time. Those are two things that don't lie, and you can't even hide the truth. You can deny it, but you can't hide it. Look at where your calendar and your checkbook spends the most time. That's your love. That is what you love the most. Because what we love is what we invest the most in. What we don't love, we abuse the most and set it aside the most. We don't want nothing to do with it. And just make sure that your love is in the right place. And that's what he says. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Where's your checkbook and where's your calendar spending the most time? Because a lot of people are like, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And then if you look, it's like, yep. Yeah, no, apparently not that much. Amen? I know. Nobody liked that one either. I'll find a better verse. Here we go. Look here in verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Ooh, here's a challenge. Here's a challenge. When you see something, what does it do to you? And if it changes you, if it causes you to pursue that which is contrary to God, you got darkness in your heart. You got darkness in your heart. If you're pursuing things other than your family, you got darkness in your heart. If you're pursuing things other than that which honors God, you got darkness in your heart. If you're pursuing riches rather than relationships, you got darkness in your heart. You're like, Pastor, I don't like it. I know. Every Sunday I got to hit some bad ones, you know. But guys, think about this just for a minute. And with COVID coming in, and we've lost our freedoms, and we got to wear masks everywhere, and we got to do all this silly stuff. All right, I'll give you one to prove my point. School. Man, they got these kids scared to death. And they got parents scared to death. It's okay for 50, 60 kids to get on a bus and sit together. And then as soon as they get into the classroom, they got to be 6 feet apart. That's a winner. And then they instill all this fear and all this, everything that goes with it. Guys, the world is crazy. The world is messed up. Where's your treasure? The world changed in a moment in March. Just like that. Everything that we knew was is no longer is. Our lives have been flipped upside down. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you have dealt with the COVID, have dealt with this. Some of you, so listen, there's issues everywhere, right? People are living in fear and they're living in anxiety and they have all this stuff going on because the world says, Satan says, let me just keep them in tumultuous despair, and then that way they don't even know where to land. Their head will always be like this. I make my own coffee and I gave some to Louisa, and anybody that knows Louisa, she's like, she drinks the coffee, and she's like, oh, this is good, oh, this is good, oh, this is good, oh, this is good, and then after about the time, she just started guzzling it, and then about 10 minutes later, she's like, woo, let's go. And then she starts talking about very fast, and what are you talking about, what are we going to do, and we're going to go home now, no, we don't go home, we don't go home, we don't go home. And then her husband says, never give my wife that coffee again. Because she's going, oh, I'll run to the store. I don't care if it's 8 miles away. Let's go. And that's what Satan in the world does to us on a daily basis. Just keeps us spinning. Spinning. Spinning, spinning, spinning. And before you know it, you've lost everything that matters. But you don't know it matters until it's gone. And God says, listen, I'm going to tell you. You better hold on to it. But if your eye is darkness, if your eye is evil, if you're looking at things and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, it's going to cost you far more than you ever dreamed. Everybody only gets away with something for a little while, and then after a while, the light comes on. You'll be exposed. And you don't want, listen, clean up your eye, amen? Then he goes this, he goes on, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You're either a slave to God, or you're a slave to your desires. Sinful desires. But you can't serve both God and those desires. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. Amen? Listen, contrary to what they teach today, there are winners and losers. And if you take home second place, you were just the first loser. That's all there is to it. You're like, oh, Pastor, that's not good. But that's true. Oh, we're not going to keep score because we don't want anybody to feel bad. And then we send them out into the real world and realize that the real world keeps score. I'm just telling you. Man, I'm just not batting 1,000 today, am I? Here we go. You cannot serve God and something else. One of those two are going to win. And then he says, no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and, now he says mammon, which is money, but I'm just going to tell you, you can't serve God and yourself, you can't serve God and money, you can't serve God and things, you can't serve God and put it in there. It's, guys, something's going to get your attention. And if you want to know what that something is, look at your checkbook or look at your calendar and it will expose your world. And then in verse 25, he starts giving us a promise. And I'm going to end it on some good stuff. Say amen. Amen. All right. Just know you're with me. In verse 25, he says, don't be like Solomon. All right. It doesn't really say that, but it will here in a second. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Are you not more valuable than the birds of the air? Listen, God spoke the birds of the air into existence, and God formed us and breathed life into our nostrils. Which one do you think is more important? He's like, why are you getting all worked up over what you're searching for and going after when I'm the one that can give you life and I can also give you death? God says, don't fear the one who can take your life, but fear the one who can take your life and your soul. That's him. Man can only take our life. What are you going to do? Take my life and send me to heaven? You're going to promote me? But God says, man, I can destroy everything about you. Now, he's not threatening us. If you're a child of his, you're a child of his, and that's it. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, your soul is condemned already. You're like, oh, I don't like it. I know, it just seems to keep getting worse. I'm trying to go uphill. Give me a second. Here we go. I know, right? So he says, look at the birds, man. And I don't know if you realize this. So God feeds the birds every day. Do you realize birds don't have a storage cabinet? Like, they don't store up food. Every day they got to eat. And so let me help you real quick. If you say, oh, I eat like a bird, stop that. Because I don't know if you know, but a bird eats equal to its own weight every day. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I eat like a bird. I see. I was referencing me. there's some places I shouldn't go. All right, here we go. And he says, look, do I not take care of them? Every day I feed them, and I don't just feed them, but I feed them more than adequate. I feed them over and above. I feed them to where they are full and content every day. How much more do I love you? Jesus didn't come to die for the birds. He came to die for us. And some of you think that's for the birds. But I'm just going to tell you, it's not it. And so God says, listen, do I not love you more? What are you doing? Why are you worrying? Why are you going after things that don't matter? Why are your treasures burning up? Wood, hay, stubble. And God's like, why? Why do you keep going after that which won't last? Why do you keep going after that which is not important? People are like, I gotta work, and my wife's gotta work, and we both gotta work, and we gotta work overtime and double time and weekends, and we gotta do all this stuff because we want to give our kids what we never had. Well, let me tell you what your kids want. Your kids want what you had, and that's parents. I know, there's another hole I keep stepping in. I'm going to try and get this. Guys, don't. My whole point is, don't lose focus on what you're going after. Don't lose focus on what's important. And don't lose focus on what really matters. And let me tell you something. These people who abuse their families, because you're like, oh, well, they'll always be here. I hope you're right. I say that because lately those are the ones that are getting the most neglected or abused, forgotten about. People are going home now or staying home or having to work from home. I was just talking to a friend of mine who works at Nanotech, and he's like, I don't understand it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, so they're letting more and more people work from home. And I go, yeah. And he goes, but they're not working. But they're on Facebook. Oh, you look on there. Yep, they're online. Hours and hours and hours. And we got to call them and tell them, get off of Facebook and do your job. He said, families are being neglected. People aren't working. They're taking advantage of the system. And he said, what we're seeing is we're seeing all this stuff just go downhill. And so he used to call his employees every time and say, man, you need to get here. You need to get on the phone. You need to do this. You need to do that. And then his boss said, stop it. And he goes, why? I need them on the job. He goes, they need to be exposed. And he goes, work wouldn't get done if I don't call him. He goes, I don't care. He goes, yeah, but then you're going to yell at me because nothing gets done. And it's like this vicious cycle that just keeps going. Guys, what's important? What is important? And God says, listen, quit going after everything else. Start serving me. I love you more than the birds of the air. And if I'm going to feed them, what am I going to do for you? I'm going to give you far more than anything I'm going to give to the rest of the world. Look here in verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God's like, listen, I will take better care of you than the birds of the air and the beauty of the flowers. I will dress you far better. Even Solomon won't look as good as you. But here's the problem, because some of you might be sitting there and go, well, I haven't seen it yet. Are you serving God? Remember, that was a stipulation. I know people are like, well, God loves me and God wants me to have everything and blah, 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 blah. But there's stipulations to God's word. And we don't like the stipulations because they minimize us or they limit us to what we can have or do. And God says, yeah, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to give you everything, but you got to look at me. Oh, and by the way, if you go after everything, I'm going to let you go after it, but I'll take it from you and give it to somebody else. The stipulation for the blessing is that we put God first. But who else is bigger and better for our side than God? And we get lost in it. Let me help you. God can do more in 1 second than what you can in 100 years. Let me also say this. Man, we're strong and we're a bull today, but you don't know what will hit you, and then tomorrow you're in bed struggling to get out of bed. Just struggling to go and do and move. Man, I used to jump out of bed and run and go. Now, I roll out of bed. I hit the floor. I use the bed to stand up. And of course, the first thing I got to do now that I'm getting older is go to the bathroom. And so, to go to the bathroom, I'm holding on to the bed and I'm doing this. I'm like, golly, man. Now, by the time I actually get to the throne of glory to make me feel better, I'm actually starting to walk a little better, and then I'm done. Well, now there's some pressure off, and so now I can go into the kitchen and go get some of that coffee that juices me up. And so then, but by the time I get to the kitchen, I'm actually walking kind of normal. And this is every day. I didn't have this problem until the motorcycle accident. And overnight, my life changed. I used to jump and run and go and do, and I would work sun up to sun down and then find things to do in the dark. I didn't go there. And now I'm like, nap time. Yesterday I worked, put in a hard day yesterday. I get in the house. Sherry's out there working on making dinner, and I sat in the chair, and then I looked up, and I went, she's standing to my right, and I go, I fell asleep, didn't I? Or I said, I think I fell asleep. She goes, oh, you did. I looked at the fights were on, they were just announcing the fighters when the last I remember, and they were finishing up round 3 when I woke up. I'm like, yep, I fell asleep. Just like that, guys, things changed. What are you pouring into? What matters? What's your value? Because I'm going to tell you, you can go after everything in the world. And you know, when I had the motorcycle accident, you know who was there? Family. When I was struggling to move and get things working again, family. My wife by my side, even when I've been a jerk. Family. So you go seek after all the gold and glory you want. But God says, man, if there's no value in it, it's going to burn up. And if you're seeking after anything other than God, you got darkness in your eyes. That darkness literally would translate evil. And you're like, I'm not evil. I didn't say you were. Why are you taking it personal? Here we go. I thought today was a good message, but apparently some of you are like, whoo, man, he needs to finish up so I can get out of here. Here we go. Verse 26. He says, look at the birds, blah, blah, blah. Verse 27, which you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature. What can you change? Nothing. The whole idea to this is, guys, the reality is, we're kind of powerless without God. Our ability only goes so far, but man, his is unmeasurable. Look here in 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies. Verse 29, and yet I say to you that even Solomon wasn't arrayed like I can array you or bless you or give to you. Verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Guys, listen, you want blessings of God? Quit living for you. Start living for God. Have faith. Believe. Trust God. Trust God that if he says no, don't do that, there's a reason. And if he says yes, do that, then go. There's a reason. Trust God. Many of us don't know God because we don't trust God. We haven't surrendered to God because, well, we're just too busy serving ourselves. Verse 31, I'll move on from there. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Guys, don't get caught up in life. That's what he's saying. Don't get caught up in all the things that don't matter. And you're like, well, eating matters. Believe it or not, you can fast 3, 4, 5, 6 days and it not bother you. I know some of you are like, hey, you can do that, but I can't. Well, try a day. Allow your system to reset. At any rate, that's just free information. Verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And he says, why do you think he says the Gentiles seek after all these things? Because the Gentiles didn't know God. The Jews, God was the Jews' God. And that's the creator of the universe, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. The Gentiles denied Christ as the Holy, as the Son of God, and they followed their own God, not the Jewish God, which is God, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai, that God. And that's why he says the Gentiles, and those are non-believers. Is what he's really saying. But seek first the kingdom of God, or verse 32, I'm sorry, for after all these things, the non-believers run after. To help put that into perspective. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Did you notice the separation in that verse? Now I know some people are like, oh, pastor, that's divisive. God wrote it, not me. For after all these things, the Gentiles, the non-believers seek after. You want to know who's the believer and who's not the believer? Look at their life and their lifestyle. And by the way, not because they have wealth or don't have wealth. That's immaterial. God blesses. Listen, God wants the Christian to have money just as much as he wants the lost people to have money. He just doesn't want the money to have them. There's your difference. You believe me, you can have things and you can have wealth, and God is well pleased as long as you have it in check. But here he says, for after all these things, the Gentiles, literally the non-believers, go after everything that don't matter. Why? Well, they don't have God. But your heavenly Father. These are for believers now. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all this, and I will supply your need. These are your promises, guys. This is so cool. All right, let me move on. The stipulation. Remember I said earlier that God has stipulations? Like God's like, I'll do all this if you do that. I'll do all this, but you got to do that. Here's another stipulation. Verse 32, if you want everything, okay. And God knows your needs, he'll give you okay. But here in 33, look at this. But, you want it? Here's the stipulation. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you do that, of course, I'm obviously adding in. And when you do that, all these things will be given to you. Put me first, I will bless you unbelievably. Put me last, you will get your blessing that you worked for, whatever that is. That's all you get. You're like, that's not how God operates. Can anybody read like I'm reading? Or maybe I'm reading into this. If you want all the blessings that I just talked about, seek God first. And he says, and I will give you all these things. Because if you seek God first, your heart's right, your eyes not darkened, your eyes aren't set on evil. You want what God wants, and so therefore God will give it to you because it lines up with him. And you like say, hey, I'm doing really well for myself, and I don't have God. Enjoy it while you got it, because it won't last long. And God says, if you want my blessing, you want me to pour out on you, and you want me to do for you, you seek me first. Look here in verse 34. Therefore. Remember, whenever we see a therefore, what do? We find out what it's there for. Because of everything I just told you in verse 33. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And Solomon struggled here because he was worrying about everything. Remember last week, all the worries that he had? And then he lands and says, you know what? God's got this. And I'm going to enjoy what I have. I'm not losing sleep over this anymore. And so Solomon starts lining up with God. God, this is for us, guys. And Jesus says, by the way, you can't see it, but it's in red. It would be the words of Jesus. And he says, guys, you put God first, and he'll rock your socks off. Don't worry about tomorrow. You just do what's right and what you know to do, and God will take care of tomorrow. But if you're self-serving, it only lasts for a season. And I'm telling you, that season comes to an end really quick. I don't know about you, but I look at, I'll be 53 next month. And I think, yeah, some of you, you're like, oh, what a baby. Yeah. Remind me of that when I'm like this in bed and getting out going, oh, dear Jesus, help me just take another step. Here's what, you know what? 30 years ago, I was 23. Which seems like that. Be very careful what you're working for today. And make sure it'll test the time. So that when you're old and you're gray, and yes, you'll be old and gray, you can hide it, but it won't change the truth. Or when you're old and bald, make sure that everything you invested in will be there with you. Don't get caught up like Solomon complaining about all the riches and who's going to get it and how's it going to be taken care of and I did all this for nothing. Make sure that your investment is there when your brain isn't or your body isn't. And God says, if it's the things of me, I'll take care of you. It's the things of the world. Fine. Enjoy it while you got it. Amen? Guys, I want to challenge you to look at where you're at. Are you like Solomon and you're all caught up in yourself? Or are you going to stop and look at God? And realize that your days are numbered. Boy, I know this is encouraging again. Your days are numbered. But here's the crazy part. You don't know how many numbers that is. You just don't know. And so are you pouring into and investing in what will make a difference for someone else tomorrow, or are you just all about you? You'll get the fruit of your labor. You'll get the fruit of your labor. Oh, make no mistake about it. You will get the fruit of your labor. And so I challenge you to look past you. I challenge you to look at the investments that you're making. I challenge you to look what you're pouring into. And I challenge you to look at what you're allowing to dictate you. Like, there's all these things, guys, where we got to stop and just look at life, real life. And we got to make a decision. Does it make a difference tomorrow? Is God going to bless it? Did I have a moment of satisfaction, or did I just invest in a lifetime change for somebody else and for my family and for others, or however that looks? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Somebody's looking at you. And God will bless your efforts, I promise. Good or bad. You got bad efforts, hey, go ahead and work for it. He'll just take it from you and give it to someone else. Remember the guy that built the barns, had all these riches, and he's like, oh, I got so many riches. I'll tear down my old barns. I'll build up new barns and stuff them even more full. And God said, you fool, this day your life will be required of you. Guys, don't be like that. Don't keep sacrificing what God wants to give you for something that isn't going to matter. And one day God's going to look at you and say, you fool, today I require your life. He did it for the just because a guy was so greedy filling his barns. But it's that sin. Keep playing with it. And one day God's going to go, hello, I'm the reaper and I'm here. What did you invest in? That's what it comes down to, guys. And Solomon says God just wants you to relax and enjoy what God has given you and don't get caught up in a rat race of life seeking after things that don't matter. The first thing you got to look at is where are you at with Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to heaven without me. That's your greatest accomplishment to start with. Are you going to heaven when you die? And you might go, well, I'd like to think so. We all would. What's the stipulation? Are you good enough? God says no one's good enough. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, then how do I get there? I'm so glad you guys asked. Man, I'm just, what a crowd today. God says that if you want to get to heaven, you have to believe in my son Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got to make it personal. It's got to be a relationship. That's the first one you invest in, and it'll change your whole life, I promise you. You say, well, how do I do that? Man, I'm so glad you asked again. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm not trying to paint a bad picture, but you're not going to heaven. It's just what the Bible says, but you have the opportunity to fix that. Well, what does that look like? Jesus says you believe unto him as the Lord and Savior. You have to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You have to believe, first off, that you're a sinner, that he died on the cross for your sins. You have to believe that he conquered death and hell, and that he's at the right hand of the Father. I didn't say you had to understand it. I said you had to believe it. And if that's where you are, then you pray this prayer. If you really want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or you can keep going through life on your own. If you wish to give your life to Jesus Christ and go to heaven, then you pray this prayer. Now, the words aren't magical. I'm just giving you a roadmap on how you get there, but you have to believe this in your heart. It's got to be personal, not your head. Oh, yeah, let me think like this and I'll avoid it. No, in your heart. And so if it's your desire to surrender your heart to Jesus, pray this prayer. Jesus, today I surrender. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you conquered death and hell. And I believe you're at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, today I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Today I surrender all. I realize that if I don't have a relationship with you, I am not going to heaven. And so today I repent of all the wrong I've ever done. And today I surrender. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, and you just ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, No games, no playing, no gimmick, no trying to fake it till you make it. It's the real deal stuff because that's all that matters.